Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Welcome into the house of the Lord. It was a great time of worship, a blessed time of worship. Worship is our gift that we give to God. We give Him everything when we worship and surrender to Him. And it, in return, we receive all of His blessings. We get blessed for it. It does something. It changes something inside you. This morning we're going to teach a lesson on the Christ of Christmas. It's not night yet, but I'll go ahead and announce that tonight we have Sister Maribel will be bringing God's word to us, and I know that you will be very, very blessed, as we were last week when Sister Emmy brought the word of God from her heart. And that's what we want. We want it from your heart and from the heart of God. We've always said, Pastor Ken and I, that if it's not real, we don't want it. As we begin this morning, there's something that God has been putting on my heart just all week long, because of I received so many phone calls this week, just so many, with serious situations, three that are on my heart so heavy, that people facing prison sentences and people hurting and sick and just crushed from the blows of life. And I'm just mindful, you know, because some of these calls are definitely not during the daytime, and I'm not sorry about that a bit, but I just am always mindful that we're on the clock with God, that our life, we're here for a purpose, and that we have to make ourselves available. You know, I'm not the broken person on the other end. Someone else is. And we have to be mindful. You know, I was doing a quinceañera here, and this place was packed yesterday. And one of the things, as I was presenting Isabella with her watch, reminding her that time, we don't know how much time we've given. We have a limited amount of time. Make every tick of the clock. You know, when you get a watch, it's that little tick, tick, tick. Every second counts. Every minute counts when you're ministering to hurting people. And it hit home again today. Dave had taken, he went to the woods with the dog this morning, and already he found a man on the ground and had to lift him. We're here to lift the fallen every second of the day, wherever we go and whatever we do. So that's just my challenge to you this morning, to tell you to make yourself available to God. Be a part of the solution and not the problem.
Oh, wow. Well, so good to be in church this morning. It's so good to see everyone. I want to spend a few minutes just, again, talking about worship, because worship is, it means so much to me. It always has. First of all, I was listening today with a little bit of a critical ear, because I was like, it was, and I got like almost like I was a music critic. And so would be my review of Christian Fellowship Church music this morning. So we got Willie singing I Am That I Am. And I know the guy that wrote that, by the way. Willie, you just wrote that last week, right? He just wrote that song last week. And it was, as I listened to it, it was like, first of all, the music is amazing, and the fact that our, what do we call them, band, worship team, the fact that our worship team was able to pick up on this brand new song like they've been playing it for 6 years. If you didn't know that this was like the second time that that song's been done, you would have thought they'd been doing that for years. So that just was knocked right out of the park, and I thought, okay, that was great music. And then we have Erica coming in with I Raise a Hallelujah, and I'm like, oh, that was amazing. And Tony's drumming has been outstanding. We have the best drummer in any church. I'm just so proud of our music team, but it just was so beautiful. And then was it Ari that did Just Let Me Tell You About Wow. So it just kept, that was amazing. And I could hear the backup singers. I could hear the guitar. I could hear everything blending in. And then Frida did, I keep fighting. This is the words that you got to listen to words too. I keep fighting voices in my head that say, I will never measure up. Come on now. Who doesn't relate to that? You know? And so, never underestimate the power of worship and the power of music. I actually studied this from my medical scientific. I've looked at, do you realize how many scientific papers there are? There's hundreds about what happens in an MRI when people listen to music. It's so cool because it will light up parts of the brain. And what music does, it lights two particular parts of the brain, especially if you're worshiping, right? People that hate music, it doesn't light up anything. It really doesn't. You've got to, you know, but if you love music, it lights up the frontal cortex, which is where the thinking is. But here's the cool thing. What they call the visual cortex, lets you visualize things and see things. So spiritually, that's an MRI. You could look at an MRI. That's physically. But don't you wish we could have a spiritual MRI of what's happening as you worship? Because just like that, the pathways light up in the brain, the Bible says, I inhabit the praises of my people. Inhabit means I live there. God lives in that place of worship. Maybe that's why we light up. That I know I do. I know that. Yeah, I can't help but tap my feet or, you know, start keeping time somehow or even listening to the song in my head, you know, being the piano player. I'm following along with the chords and you become part of this flow, this river that's flowing. And I believe that it opens up a connection to God because he does inhabit the praises of his people. So it's not just songs. It's worship. And in the Bible, come on, now, we're going to get to the message, but when they went to war, you know that God said, send the singers out and the people that played the tambourines first. So it wasn't the archers, it wasn't the people with the machine guns or the cannons that went out first, it was the girls with the tambourines. Go out and lead, because when praise happens, that's when God goes to war. Hallelujah, God goes to war. Okay. So we're going to be talking, it's a Christmas message, talking about the Christ of Christmas, which I like. So the first coming of Christ has already been prophesied, and because it was prophesied, it already happened. The second coming of Christ has already been prophesied, and the day is coming very soon. The time is coming very soon. We see Jesus come in a manger, which is a beautiful story. But I want to see when he comes where every eye is going to see him, where the trumpet of the Lord is going to sound. See, in order to see him, we got to go outside. So it's like a trumpet sounds out and you go, what is that? So everyone, the whole world runs outside. And God is light. I mean, when Jesus comes, it's going to be, he's going to burst on the scene. And believe me, CNN and ABC and CBS and every news station in the world is going to have their cameras shot on this spectacular sight, this light that is so brilliant. And, you know, I've heard cosmology debates because the current scientific thinking is that there is no center of the universe because as far as we know, scientifically, the universe is infinite. There's no evidence to suggest that it's finite. It just doesn't ever end. Because of that, if you ask someone that studies astronomy where the center of the universe is, they will tell you there is no center of the universe. But I would tell you the center of the entire universe is wherever God is. And someday, although the universe is so big, I mean, and I know you've heard this fact a million times, but I love thinking about this. One more time. If you took every grain of sand that's on the planet, there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand everywhere on every beach, everywhere in the world. That's how big the universe is. And it may be much bigger than that. We just don't know. But here's the fact that should cause chills to go up and down your spine. Someday you personally are going to stand before God, one way or the other, sinner or saint. You're going to be standing at the center of the universe, which is before an Almighty. Come on, that's amazing. So we're talking about a big subject here. Christ is the center of everything, right? He's even our human lives, even the atheists that walk among us, Christ is the center. Our date, our very calendar is based on Jesus. We say, this happened 1,000 years B.C. What does B.C. mean? It means before Christ and after the date of his birth. We're A.D. now. So, but even our very time is centered upon Christ. But it's more than that. You are centered upon Christ because he specifically created and designed you. So he should be the center of your universe.
I love that we're talking about worship because there's something that really always has impressed me. There were studies done by the University of Pennsylvania that they studied people that were speaking in tongues, and they studied their brain waves and patterns. And when they were speaking in tongues, there were none. And, you know, they questioned that. They would have people speaking in tongues and stop. But here's the thing. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That same university did a study on what he was just talking about singing and also playing instruments. And when you play an instrument and when you sing, this study was proven, they claim, to push back the diseases of mental illness, dementia, and Alzheimer's. And I believe that. I believe that does something in you to sit and play an instrument. And how much more if you play the instrument in worship of God, who created you and who created your mind. Do you know these studies are scientific, but they make sense. They really make sense. So how much more would we think that we're benefiting just God? Well, God commands us to worship him. Yes, but everything God commands us to do brings a blessing to us. So if God says, love your neighbor, then you're going to be blessed by loving your neighbor. If God says to worship him, you're going to be blessed by worshiping God. If God says to give, you're going to be blessed by doing what God says. So how much more? And as we talk about the birth of Christ, I think it is so wonderful to acknowledge that the most important person that ever walked this earth was the person of Jesus Christ, who came here for a purpose, and we also are here for a purpose. And I love the statement that many make, he became like us so we could become like him. I had no chance of becoming like him. Something that came to my heart that the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart was, he came to my shabby, broken down self, my own house, so that I could one day go to his amazing house and live in a mansion that he's, in a room that he's created just for me. And you all know his mission was a mission of love. That literally the most quoted verse in the entire Bible, Tim Tebow knows it, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Remember Abraham giving his only son? That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And every year at this time, we talk about his coming to earth. And I think it's so cool. I started studying all of the prophecies of Christ and people say, well, when was the first prophecy? Well, the oldest book of the Bible is actually the book of Job. And let me just read you Job 19:25-27. For I know that my Redeemer lives. He's alive. Job said it, the oldest book in the Bible, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. He will stand on this earth. Did he? He stood on this earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. Oh, how my heart yearns and looks forward to this inside me. I love that. All the prophets, they prophesied. Moses prophesied. Zechariah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, they all foretold that Jesus would come. They told of his first coming. But I want to tell you something. Guess who prophesied that he would come a second time? Jesus Christ himself. I will return. I'm going to come back for you. So the first coming has taken place. All the prophets were right. And those were fallible men, right? They could have missed the prophecy. But Jesus is the one who prophesied that I'm coming back. I believe we can count on that. I'm going to say yes. Let's go with it. And I believe that it's also very soon. That's me as I study end time prophets. I believe that it's very soon. But I think that I love to look back at the prophecy of old, Pastor, when the wise men looked forward to his coming, because I think that it's a wise individual who looks forward to that day and to get excited. I've always said this, and Pastor Ken's quoted me before, I have always said that I believe that many people do not believe in heaven or hell. They do not believe it. The reason I know that is they have no fear of a hell. They have no rejoicing over looking forward to heaven. If you truly believed, you would receive him and you would look forward to being with him again in heaven, and you would be excited. If they looked forward to it, the wise men, how much more should I look forward to it? And I love that Jesus came as a humble human in a humble setting. Everything about it was humble. He humbled himself. Here's the situation with Jesus. He became like the lowest person on earth. This is where I'll be born. But the next time he comes, he's coming in the clouds, and the trumpet's going to sound, and you're going to actually hear the trumpet if you're here on earth, and he's going to burst forth in the skies. He's coming as king. He's coming as conqueror. He's coming as victor, and he's not coming to us this time. He's coming for us, and there's a huge, huge difference. I love that Jesus came to us, but I am looking for the day. Be honest with me for just 2 seconds here. Have you ever said, this is hard? Have you ever said, it's hard to live here? Have you ever said, I really wish I could get out of here? I wish there was a ticket, a way out of here, because life is so hard and the situations we go through. You know what? That's a reason to look forward to him. And, you know, when we look at the Bible and we see how wonderful it is, how could we not give him our worship? How could we not give him all the gifts that he has given us, give them in return? And as I was saying to Isabella yesterday in the quinceañera and giving her the charges that we give at a quinceañera, one of the things I said, Isabella, this church was literally packed and she was facing the audience. And I said, I have to say this. I have to, by the Holy Spirit, stop and say this. Sandra was with me. And I said, here's the deal. We're about to stand you up here, and people are one by one going to come and bring you beautiful gifts, valuable gifts. But the best gift that you have ever been given is Jesus Christ. And all the other gifts you have been given that matter most, they're sitting here in this audience today. The gifts of our family and our friends and our loved one, the things that we don't seem to value but we should value, these are the gifts that God has given us, and we already have them. We look at things and we say, well, I don't have much, and no, you do have much. We are so blessed, and so I am looking forward to that day when Jesus returns, Ken.
Me too. You know what you said about life being hard is true. But so the encouraging thing, though, is if you're going to heaven, this is as close to hell as you'll ever get. So that's a good, of course, the opposite's true, I suppose. If you're going to hell, this is as close to heaven as you'll get, even if things are tough here. Things can be tough, but just imagine, hey, water always tastes best when you're thirsty. You know, food tastes best when you're hungry. Some of the best water I ever had wasn't even good water. I was just so thirsty. It was like, you know. And so when you get to heaven, that's going to be so much better than, come on, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness, no more disease, no more theft, no more hatred, no more prejudice. You know, no more. It's going to be joy unspeakable. And full. It's worth it. It's so worth it. And all the things that man strives for, that wants to achieve. Every achievement on earth and even every achievement in heaven, if you get to heaven and God says, here's this crown and here's that crown, here's a murderous crown and here's amazing crowns, what does it say? We bow down and we lay our crowns. You go, compared to Jesus, all these Emmys, all these Oscars, all the awards of man, all the awards of even a martyr's crown, you would go, I lay down my awards for him because of how marvelous Jesus is. We can't let Jesus be watered down, either his name or what he did. There's still power in the blood of Jesus. But like the seven sons of Sceva found, it's not a magic word. It's not abracadabra, abra-Jesus. That's not what it's what's behind the name. It's not a magic word. It's what's behind it. It's covenant. And the word of God in your mouth has power. The word of God, as long as it's not a double-minded word, right? As long as it's not, I'm healed, I'm not healed, I'm healed, I'm not healed, I'm saved, I'm not saved, I love God, as long as we're not double-minded. So Jesus is amazing, but the question is, who is he to you? Who is Jesus to you? It's a really deep philosophical question that demands an answer. I liked the story when I was a child, and I'm not sure, The Prince and the Pauper, I'm not sure how much Mark Twain was thinking about, if at all, about how it... So the story of The Prince and the Pauper was the prince who was going to, I guess, grow up to be the king or whatever in this story looked exactly like this townsperson that was completely poor and had nothing. They could have been twins. I think it was just a coincidence. And when they met each other, they decided to switch places. So now the pauper, the boy who had nothing, he traded places, and everyone thought he was the prince. So he's in the palace now eating at the king's table and having that shock. That was half the story, right, is how shocked he was to be able to navigate and be in a palace when he grew up. So that, how are you going to respond when you're on a street of gold and there's living water and I don't know, I'm just saying it's going to be a little bit of a culture shock to go from your house where you live and you clean to all of a sudden, you know, being in heavenly places. Now that's a change. Come on. That's a change. But the part of the story that intrigued me was the prince becoming the pauper. Because now he's used to people, he's used to no pain, he's used to nothing. He finds out for himself what hatred is about. He finds out what it's about to be cold and hungry and have people mistreat him, just like Jesus did. He came and became a human. That is the story, the Christmas story. But then he was despised of man. He was rejected by man. He experienced sorrow, great sorrow. He experienced great pain. And I don't just mean the physical. To see Judas do what he did, to hear Peter, I don't know the man, to go to trial alone. No, he fed 4,000, but when he was at trial, there wasn't one person that said, let me testify for Jesus. He went there alone. So I would like to know if Mark Twain knew what he was writing or if it's just a coincidence. So who is Jesus to you? Here's some things he should be to you. He should be your Savior. He should be your King, which means he's in charge. He is your healer. He is your deliverer. He is your future. He is God. And he's our friend. What an amazing title that he would be our friend, that the Father would be a father, that we could have such access to God. There's a song that we sing that says, I have made you too small in my eyes. We cannot make too little of Jesus or too little of our salvation, of our walk with God. We see Adam and Eve and God, that they would walk with God and talk with God in the garden as friends. We see Moses was called a friend of God. And we have a better covenant based upon better promises, and we are friends with God. And it just, how close of friends we are is really up to us, because he has already invited us to come close. We don't need an invitation. We have an invitation to draw close to God. So it really is up to us. And Pam, all the names of God, Emmanuel, that God is, he's with us, that he is with us.
That is one of my absolute favorite names of God, aside from Father and so many more, is Emmanuel, God with us, because of the promise of God that says, I will never leave you or forsake you. What a reminder. It's in his name. He's reminding himself, I am Emmanuel. I am the God who is with us and always has been with us. You know, I kept thinking as you were talking about the prince and the pauper story, how I'm going to actually bring the video tomorrow night, the little clip that I've been meaning to bring you. It's a secular clip, but it's very, very powerful. The little boys, you'll see it tomorrow, that says Santa is poorly this year. But in the clip, you see a man who is just crying because of his situation, and you'll know what that is if you come tomorrow. But It just touched me. There are so many people out there who are hurting, who need to know that there is an Emmanuel, who need to know that Jesus, there is a friend that they can turn to when they've lost all their friends, when all their friends have walked out on them. As we've said many, many times, the story of Billy Graham going to see, I forgot who it was, Jim Baker. It was Jim Baker, and Jim Baker lost all of his friends when he got in trouble and when he sinned, and, you know, and here comes Billy and Ruth Graham into the cell. You know, man, that had to be powerful to know that you have a friend. But even if they hadn't come, he still had a friend, Jesus. Jesus is still there, and, you know, that's why we tell the story of Jesus. More and more, it's been on my heart to just even talk to strangers and ask them, has anyone ever told you about Jesus? I did that the other day, just told somebody, has anyone ever told you about Jesus? And it was powerful. I won't go into that, but the story of Jesus doesn't actually even begin in Bethlehem. We read the Christmas story and we think, well, there's where it all began. It doesn't begin in the garden. Well, there's where it all began. No, it doesn't begin in the garden. The Bible in Revelation tells us that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus was the Savior for a very, very long time, more before you even knew you needed a Savior, before you even knew that you had one problem. Jesus was the answer to it. Jesus is the answer to it. And before you were ever born in your mother's womb or even thought of, God had already decided the color of your eyes. And I know that's hard to even wrap your head around, that God had already decided the color of your eyes thousands and thousands of years ago before you could ever even have imagined that. And, you know, we can't make him too small. He is a great God. He is an awesome God. But one of the things that was always on my heart that I love, that the Bible says Jesus is the light of the world. And when God said, something occurred to me as I was meditating and studying and praying the other day. I was meditating on that thought that God said, let there be light. And literally the stars just started popping and turning on. And there came light into the world, into the earth. And I kept thinking about this, let there be light, let there be light. And this was also a prophecy about the birth of Jesus, who is the light of the world. But as I was meditating, I felt the Holy Spirit say, Pam, the lights are still coming on. From the minute God said, let there be light, there's still stars being. That word went out, and the universes are still being lit up. Lights are coming on everywhere, even now. That is hard to imagine. That when God says something, that it just keeps happening, that stars keep being created. And years ago, in a town called Bethlehem, the light of the world happened. But something, as I started studying, I came upon something that I found scientifically very, very interesting. In the year 2016, for some of you, that was just yesterday, scientists discovered that at the very moment a human egg is fertilized, there comes a huge just burst of light happens. And they have actually filmed it, and I watched it. It is so powerful, if you haven't done it, to see an egg fertilize and the light that burst forth. When he said, let there be light, everything turned on. And this world would be a dark place. Can you imagine the darkness? But I love that burst of light came and that Jesus is called the light of the world. And the story of Jesus on earth actually truly begins with the story of John. His father, Zechariah, Elizabeth, the mother, she was older, she was barren. It's such a beautiful story because here's Elizabeth, this old woman, and Mary, this young woman. And for either of them, it was impossible to have a child. Either of them, one was a virgin, one was way past childbearing. I mean, way past. And it was impossible. But God makes the impossible possible. And so what I would say to you today is, he is the light of the world. He's going to light up your life because he's going to make the impossible in your life possible. And so this angel, Gabriel, messenger angel, comes to Zechariah, who is a man of God, a priest of God, who should have taken a little better note of this. And the angel says, your wife is going to have a son. Gender reveal. No gender reveal, no ultrasounds involved in this whatsoever. God just knew. Wow, shock, shock. God knew what the child was going to be. The angel knew what the child was going to be. You're going to have a son. You're going to call him John. And here's Zechariah. Do you expect me to believe this? To the angel. Wait a minute, you're talking to an angel. How would I know what you prayed for? How would I know what you prayed for? I just revealed to you so the angel shut John down. But I want to say something else about that. God knows about your impossible situation. And he knows, and that's why he sent Jesus to earth. Because you would have impossible situations, and he would make the impossible possible for you. So I would say, whatever you're believing for, keep believing. Believe in him. You know, I always say this when I talk about dreaming. You know, what are your dreams in life? Don't pursue the dream. Don't pursue the dream. Pursue the giver of the dream, and then he will make the dream come true. Pursue God and the one who came for us. So it's just such a great story, the birth of Christ.
And I like the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah. I want to talk about that for a minute because it's powerful. Well, first I want to talk about another Elizabeth that just died a few months ago. So the Queen of England, I read a story that when she was in her 80s, I guess the Queen always is in the palace or whatever, but she had went out walking. She got away from the palace. She was walking down the street with some family member, and there was an American that was visiting, and so they happened to be crossing on the same walk, the same sidewalk, and they started talking. And the American, this is the funny part of it, has no idea who she is. He thinks he's meeting a lady, you know, this is someone from, like I said, she's about 80. So the American said, well, how long have you lived here? And she said, you know, 80 years. And he said, well, you're as old as the Queen. He said, have you ever met the Queen? And so I'm reminded of the story of Gabriel because Gabriel is going to give this incredible news. He's going to tell Zechariah that he won the lottery. It's fun to give good news to people, right? So Gabriel has all this news about his name's going to be John. He's going to lead. He's going to do this amazing thing. And you're so blessed. And, you know, I've got the best news ever. And, you know, Zechariah is like, well, I'm going to need to see some ID here. Seriously. You know, Gabriel really got offended at this. I mean, he got the opportunity to give this great news, and this guy is like, no, I don't think so. I doubt it. You know, I'm sure Gabriel's thinking, do you see a lot of angels? Do you have that many come by? And what Gabriel's response, he was just in shock. He goes, I'm Gabriel. You know, it's like, who are you? I am Gabriel. You know, you could just like hear this in his voice. I'm the messenger of God. I'm supposed to be bringing you good news. But you know what, Zechariah? Well, forget about the good news for a minute. You can't talk starting now. So that's what you get. That's what you get. And of course, even though that's humorous, sometimes the best thing we can do is not talk. If we're going to speak doubt, it's better not to talk at all. But he just couldn't believe that. So we learn not to speak things of doubt. And the thing I always like to think about with Mary, and I'm sorry for being repetitive, but it's just the truth. Mary's mission was not to only be was to carry Jesus through pregnancy and to carry in her body that Jesus was developed over time. And then, of course, to be a mother, which she was always there. She's the one person in the Bible that was there from the beginning of his birth all the way to the end. No one else was there the whole time, just her. But her mission was to carry in her the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, that's your same mission, is to carry within you and to have Jesus develop and grow more and more till he must increase so that we decrease.
We're getting close to closing, but we've got a couple more remarks. But I want to tell you that Gabriel, when he came, he made himself very clear. And here's what he said. I love this, by the way. Every word that I have spoken will come true. Not it might, it may, it could, it should. It will come true. When you have a word for God, it will come true. That meant that Elizabeth was absolutely going to conceive, was absolutely going to have a boy, and it did happen. But Gabriel said something a little more, too. He said, on time, in God's time. And I think that's the thing that I zeroed in for you and I today, is that God's promises in your life, they are going to come true. There's no question about them, that if God made a promise to you, no question, that they're going to come true. But I want to tell you, it's in God's time, not my time. And I want to say this. Stop watching the clock. Stop speaking words of unbelief and doubt. Start claiming the promises of God. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. It is time to claim the promises of God in your life. But there is one more thing when Gabriel went to Mary and talked to Mary that I loved. And we're going to continue on the Christmas story, of course, next week. One more thing that he said to Mary, and we're going to close. Our musicians are going to play now. But he said to Mary, he said, fear not. And so I'm going to leave you. This is going to be my final thought, is that if God has promises in his word to you to prosper you, to bless you, to help you, to give you hope, they're going to come true in God's time. And here's the final word. You don't have to be afraid that they haven't come true yet, or maybe it looks like they're not going to come true, or maybe it looks like it won't ever happen. That's not true. Don't believe the lies of the enemy, because our God is great. Don't make God small. In fact, last year at the beginning of the year, you know I give a prophecy at the beginning of every year, and what God told me to tell his people last year was, stop making me too small. You have asked for small things. You never mind asking me for an extra $10. You never mind asking me for a little sore throat. Could you heal my sore throat? But God said, ask me for the big things. Ask me for the things that are really on your heart. Those things that you are almost afraid to ask. Fear not, for I am with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. So we want to encourage you today that the Christ of Christmas has come. He's coming again. In the meantime, read his word, his promises are yes and amen, and they will come to pass in your life. I know you have tough situations, but I promise you everything's going to work out. Let's spend some time in worship here right now, and then you'll be dismissed.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.